From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of April 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, USTR is moving to remove trade barriers in China and other nations. A letter from the leaders of the G20 countries has made a thinly veiled swipe at the currency policies of China. And the Secretary of Agriculture wants to develop a framework for beef trade with Japan. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And then I'll talk with Brian Indris. He's been working to put together next week's Biofuels Law Conference to be hosted at the iHotel here on the University of Illinois campus. You're invited. We'll explore why you might want to go. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programming comes from the Westchester Group, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is at westchester-auctions.com or at 800-607-6888.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon, the last trading day of this week. May futures in the wheat pit, 454 and three quarters, up 4 1/4 today. July at 468 and a half, 4 1/2 higher, and September at 485, up 4 1/2 cents. May corn futures, 344 and a half, down 1/2. July at 356, a half lower. September at $3.66, unchanged. December at 377, up 3/4. And the March of next year at 388 and 3/4, up 3/4. May soybean futures, 942 on a Thursday afternoon, a penny higher for the day. July at 951 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. The August at 946 and a quarter, 2 1/2 higher. In September, 932 and 3/4, up 6 3/4. November soybeans, $9.25 and 3/4, up 7 3/4 for the day. May bean meal at $265.90, settlement price up a dime. The May soybean oil at $38.98, up 67 cents. April live cattle futures, $96.65, 10 cents higher. June down 2 1/2 at $93.52 1/2. April feeders at $110.37 1/2, a nickel lower. The May contract at $112.70, down 27 1/2 cents. April lean hog futures today, 80 cents higher, $74.12 1/2. The May contract at $81.72 1/2. May lean hogs at $1.10 higher on the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, May contract, $1.11 higher at $84.87. April ethanol at $1.52 2/10, down 2 1/2 cents for the afternoon. Natural gas at $4.09 1/10 cents, up 22 2/10 cents. The May RBOB gasoline at $2.32 4/10, a penny and 6 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 3 8/10 higher at $2.21 7/10. And the gold futures, April contract, a settlement price there at $1,125.10 an ounce, up $11.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 10,882, just about 25 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 80.78, down 0.28, and the CRB index at 276.43, up 3.09 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. As prepared by our own Mike Solom, he says this afternoon, partly to mostly sunny skies, windy and warm. Highs will range from 77 in northwestern Indiana to 85 in west central Illinois. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, lows between 52 and 58. That's tonight, rather. And then tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny skies, windy and warmer. Highs will range from 76 in northwestern Indiana to 83 in southeastern Illinois. Unseasonably warm and dry weather will prevail through Friday. Showers and thunderstorms will move through the Midwest on Saturday. But Mike says things should dry out for Sunday and Monday. Mild temperatures should remain in the Midwest through at least midweek next week. The next batch of showers and thunderstorms could roll through the Midwest on Tuesday and Wednesday before cooler weather comes in toward the end of the week. Overall, we'll see near-average temperatures across the Midwest for a 1 to 2 week period ending on April the 14th, and precipitation near-average as well. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us to help us take a complete look at the agricultural futures markets is ADM Grain Group's Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been an interesting week, especially with the USDA reports that were released yesterday afternoon. How did you view those when they first came out, and what do you see now?
Well, definitely the stocks numbers were the bearish twist in the report. I myself was not necessarily shocked to see the larger stocks number on corn because there's just a lot of corn around, and I know feed usage has been real weak compared to where it was a year ago and whatnot. So I do think that it did confirm some of my suspicions that feed usage was way down in the corn. Also, maybe USDA might be running a little too high a number, or I mean, they may be running too small a production number too. You don't know how they're going to balance all that out. When we go down the road, there'll be some changes, but the first set of changes are going to be on the balance sheet here, I think, next week already on the April report. The beans, the larger than expected bean inventory, pretty well, I think, pulls the plug on the bull spread on beans, and that's what you kind of saw here today. You're seeing the weakness in the front months, strength in the back end, so you're seeing some unwinding of the bull spread, or you're seeing people start bear spreading it as the South American inventory begins to dominate the world market.
Do you think that the grain stocks or what's on hand at this point, report, or in this case for March 1st, will have much of an impact on the ending stocks number? Will it change it, or is there something else afoot?
Yeah, it will. I've been running some of the balance sheets that I've been using out on the market outlook circuit this winter was looking at a 2 billion bushel carryout. So I think USDA has another 50 to 100 million drop in exports to come. And I think then the feed usage, 100 here, they're going to have to drop it 100 or so. So I think you're going to see whether or not they show up in April or not, but you're going to see a 2 billion plus carryout on corn coming down the road. Which I don't think is a big shock. I think anybody in the trade that's been actually watching actual demand and where the supply is at has been working a 2 billion bushel carryout anyway, Todd.
Now, what does it tell you about marketings for new crop and I don't know what's left in the bin, but old crop must still be there, and producers are probably worried about both?
Well, we're pretty much down to the growing season at this point to find something to rally on. However, you always got to keep an eye on outside market activity. And what's quite interesting, of course, is this crude oil rally. We're making new highs for the recovery rally here. We're in the mid-80s. Basically on expectations that the overall world economy is improving enough, demand strong enough to warrant these higher prices. And we did see the weakness of the dollar. We did see that big spike up there last week, and the market has kind of failed to follow through on that in the last few sessions here. We've seen some weakness here in the dollar. So I do think that weakness in the dollar would come in and have a setback in here, could help out the grain complex. We're a long ways yet from getting this crop planted. However, the weather forecasts, of course, depending upon who you talk to, does suggest that we're going to at least see some field activity around the Corn Belt here over the next few days. And then we'll see how heavy this rain system is. It's supposed to be coming at us, you know, kind of 10 days down the road. If that would happen to get lightened up a little bit or not be quite as heavy, we could really begin to see a lot of field work happen.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up question to the weakness in the dollar and the crude oil. Strong crude oil, probably good for the ethanol industry and its margins, but that one has been and probably will continue to operate on the mandate, so it's sort of a built-in process. Maybe you can tell me differently.
Well, actually, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, the higher crude oil does make blending margins real attractive. When you look at ethanol futures and you look at gasoline futures, the problem is that overall consumption in the U.S. is significantly below what it needs to be. So we're now getting to the point where we have an excess inventory of ethanol around. So your ethanol processor, though his margins are down to almost nothing, and maybe in some instances, depending upon how they run their risk management program, they could be losing. So our problem here is that we need a higher blend. The sooner EPA could come out with a higher blend, the better off we would be. They don't seem to be wanting to rush to that judgment very quickly here, but the industry definitely needs a higher blend to get this ethanol. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's a mandate. It's just that when you have good blending margins, the retail gasoline pumps will blend as much as they can, or they will sell a higher percentage of blend as they can.
Right. One other question, though, on having the mandate there and the lower total usage of gasoline in the United States. Isn't it, though, that they can move that mandate, they can move those gallons backwards and forwards? They can trade those gallons backwards and forward a bit.
Well, yeah, but you still have to consume it.
Well, eventually.
Know? Yeah. You can move it back and forth on the RINs, and that's another market all by itself. You kind of get in the weeds with that. But the biggest problem is the high unemployment rate, whether or not you want to call it 10% or 20%, depending upon how you view it. We just don't have as many people traveling back and forth to work and consuming the gasoline that we need to consume to pick up the slack of the big production of ethanol that's taken place here.
Dan, any final word before I let you go?
That's all I have. The markets did take a pretty good tumble here, and there's no doubt everything is on the negative side, but we're a long ways away from getting this crop planted, and there's a million outside forces that can kind of come into play to change, to mix this thing up yet over the next 60 days.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Couple of notes. The markets are closed tomorrow. We will have a closing market report. It will be Commodity Week, which we'll record this afternoon at 4:30. And then, of course, you can hear Commodity Week at its regular time on this radio station as well over the weekend. We'll post that program after we record it tonight at about 6 o'clock to our website. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon. The website address is willag.org.
In agricultural news, the Obama administration released reports yesterday detailing the major foreign trade barriers facing U.S. agriculture and manufacturers and the steps the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is taking against some of those barriers. With China, for instance, the report stated, quote, China has enormous market potential for high-quality U.S. processed foods, but exporters are challenged by China's regulatory structure and processes, including confusion about authorities and responsibilities. The reports included several descriptions of ongoing trade issues in agriculture, such as restrictions on biotechnology or continued bans of livestock and poultry products because of avian influenza or mad cow disease. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says he hopes to use the relationships he made during three trips to Japan as Iowa's governor to develop a new framework for conversations with the new Japanese government on beef exports. Previewing his trip to Japan next week, Vilsack says he plans to take a different approach with the Japanese over the beef trade than the Bush administration did. Vilsack is expected to tell the Japanese that beef from older U.S. animals is safe and that they should accept it, but he says, quote, "This is an opportunity to listen intently. We need to meet mutual needs, but in a proper way." A letter by leaders of the G20 countries is calling for all countries ahead of the June summit to go beyond merely advocating for trade and against protectionism. The letter also calls for an assessment of the Doha round of World Trade Organization trade talks to, quote, "determine whether we can achieve the greater level of ambition necessary to make an agreement feasible." The letter also mentions the sensitive matter of currencies, and while not naming China in particular, referenced a need for market-based currency policies. The G20 is made up of the finance ministers and central bank governors of 19 of the world's largest economies, as well as that of the European Union. The heads of the Transportation Department and the Environmental Protection Agency on Thursday signed final rules requiring 2006 model year vehicles to meet fuel efficiency targets of 35.5 miles per gallon combined for cars and trucks, an increase of nearly 10 miles per gallon over current standards set by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Government officials say that the new requirements would add about $1,000 per new vehicle by 2016, but would pay back that investment within 3 years. The rule is expected to save more than $3,000 over the life of the vehicle through better gas mileage. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. We'll record that second program early this week, this afternoon, in fact, around 4:30, and post it to our website at willag.org. By about 6 o'clock, our panelists and guests include Paul Cooley, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, and Josh Darr on this week's edition of Commodity Week. It'll be up on the website this evening by about 6 p.m.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. We're joined now by Brian Endres. He's an assistant professor of agricultural economics and law at the University of Illinois and one of the people responsible for putting together next week's EBI Biofuels Law Conference. That's scheduled for next Friday, April the 9th, I think, isn't it?
That is Friday.
What does EBI stand for?
Energy Biosciences Institute. It's the collaboration between the University of Illinois, University of California, Berkeley, and BP, British Petroleum, to examine the future of bioenergy.
So, law and regulation. We know that there's plenty of regulation and law out there. What kinds of things will be looked at?
We are looking at a tremendous variety of things here. And actually, this is our second annual conference. And so we're trying to build on some of the ground we covered in the first year. We're going to start looking at even a broad perspective. Some of our initial speakers are going to talk about the impact of the Copenhagen conference that was last year and how that can relate to agriculture going forward. And then we're going to continuously drill down, so to say, and get into more specifics as far as we have two speakers from the University of California that are going to talk about what California is doing with the low carbon fuel standard and their various mandates for biofuels and bioenergy in general. Then we're going to talk about what's going on in Illinois and other states around the Midwest as far as what incentives they've put in to stimulate biofuels consumption, to stimulate biofuels consumption or production in that state. And then we're going to move down even one more level, down to the farm level, and have a really good panel discussion on the Biomass Crop Assistance Program, also known as BCAP. What are the rules and regulations that are being developed right now, as you know, right as we speak, on how the government's going to implement this program to encourage the production of biomass for bioenergy.
This is Friday, April the 9th. It's at the I Hotel. That's not too far from the Assembly Hall, just south of it on St. Mary's Road. And it's open and free.
It's open and free, but you must register so that we can do some planning purposes and make sure that we have enough set aside for lunch and breakfast.
And so if they want to do that, they visit the website. The address is biofuelslawconference.org. They can go there to register. It's quick and simple and it's easy. And then they just show up. Who do you hope comes?
Well, I think we're going to have a good mix of people here. Of course, we're going to have a fair amount of lawyers there because this is a law and regulation conference.
Shotguns checked at the door.
Of course. But it's a much broader audience than that because this is so much under development. The legal area is under development with this evolving new ways to use this technology. And so there'll be a fair amount of policymakers there. We expect a fair number of actual agricultural producers there. And we have received a lot of interest from students, so there'll be a good mix of students there to gather.
Is it fair to say that this is the kind of event that somebody who walks in from the farm would have access to people who really make policies? And when they stand up possibly and ask a question or give their ideas, that it might make a change?
I think that's a very accurate way to describe it. Most of these people, in addition to their university lives, are sitting on different boards or commissions or different study groups and standard-setting organizations where they're debating what the standard should be going forward. For example, the Biomass Crop Assistance Program final rule, the comments for the final rule are due on this Friday. And I bet as you go through this, a fair number of these people have submitted comments to the regulatory agency on how to shape the actual federal rule going forward. So absolutely the good chance to interact with people who are looking at policy, studying policy, and influencing policy.
That's Assistant Professor of Agricultural Economics at the University of Illinois, Brian Endress. He'll be at the I Hotel next Friday, April the 9th. Registration is online at ebibiofuelslawconference.org. The program kicks off at 8 a.m. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. In just 2 minutes, I'll return when we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is touting a student loan overhaul that he says will provide Pell Grants to more than 23,000 additional Illinois college students. The measure signed by President Obama last week also cuts the middleman, or a bank or other lender, from federally guaranteed student loans and pours more dollars into the grants. Durbin says because banks were guaranteed that loans would be paid in full, they could add to the interest rate on the loans before students would begin paying them back. He says it cost the country $8 billion a year because lenders like Sallie Mae provided the loans with no risk. Durbin told administrators and students at Parkland College this morning about the measure's additional benefits, including a loan repayment program that will cap monthly payments to borrowers at 10% of their income 4 years from now. Carle Foundation Hospital now includes its once freestanding clinic association. Today was the official effective date for the merger between the not-for-profit hospital and for-profit clinic, which is now known as Carle Physician Group. Dr. James Leonard heads the Urbana-based Carle Foundation. He says despite some potential bumps in the process of combining the firms, the merger will benefit patients by uniting records and billing and by improving efficiency. Carle also says the newly combined entity will be more stable for doctors, offer more discounts for patients who need financial help, and can set Carle up to take advantage of upcoming changes in health care delivery. Authorities in southwest Illinois have arrested two people in connection with the shooting death of the mayor of Washington Park. Police Detective Kim McAfee says 52-year-old John Thornton was shot twice in the chest at close range in his car early today. He died at a hospital later. McAfee says the shooter was in the car with Thornton when he was shot. The car then crashed into a tree, and witnesses say the shooter limped to a waiting car and fled. Police say no charges have yet been filed. Illinois State Representative John Fritchie was surprised to find the state plan to pay people's gas 2 cents for an overdue utility bill at his office. Turns out that the agencies statewide are issuing vouchers for late payment interest of just pennies apiece because of a change in the law last year. Illinois pays 1% interest on all late bills. The minimum interest paid used to be $50, but lawmakers removed all limits last year. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with us today is Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It is a gorgeous and a very warm, almost summer-like afternoon here in the Midwest.
Yes, it is. We just noted at 2 o'clock that O'Hare Airport exceeded their record high for the date, 82 degrees there. The record was 81. It's now the airport of Champaign is reporting 81 as of 2 o'clock now. So we're really looking at some unseasonably warm weather. Now, the warmth is likely to continue pretty well into next week, but it's not going to be without some precipitation. There's a cold front that's going to work slowly eastward across the central part of the country and start to produce some shower activity maybe Friday night or early Saturday. Some warm temperatures ahead of it with a fairly good cold front there might also indicate the possibility of some locally severe storms at that time. I think that might be more likely on Saturday. And then we get another system coming through toward the middle of next week, Wednesday to Thursday, and we'll see some more general rains with that system, and then we'll start going back into a bit of a cooler pattern, the kind that we've been used to. So make the most of the warm weather we've seen this past few days, and especially for the next couple of days here. Might as well enjoy it while we've got it.
Will we have much wind? It's not windy out there at the moment, fairly light winds here in Urbana-Champaign, but it seems to me that the winds are what really kick up the evaporation rates.
Yeah, well, they will be up, as a matter of fact. The gradient's going to tighten up, and tomorrow will probably be a windy day from the southwest. And ironically, with all of the moisture that you've had everywhere, they're seriously concerning putting up red flag warnings for tomorrow, that these fire warnings for brush and fires getting out of control due to wind. That we might see some of that tomorrow. I think the maybe underrating the ability for this very saturated ground to pump moisture into the lower levels of the atmosphere and keep the humidities a little higher than they normally would have been.
And if you take a look around the rest of the globe, what do you see that you'd like to talk about today?
Well, let's see. Talk about South America. They've had one of their wetter seasons in a while. That's been mostly good for Brazil, especially good for the Argentine, because they're recovering from several years of drought. And crop tour down there just got through in Brazil, taking a look at their soybean crop, and they see a crop that's 19% higher than last year's. 68 million tons is their estimate versus 57 million tons they produced last year. So that's probably going to have some kind of an impact, and it's the good weather that's produced that, so I can get the weather angle in on that one. Most of the rest of the world, the weather is pretty good, except for some persistent snow cover in the northern and central parts of the Russian Federation, and it's still very cold and even snowy in parts of the UK as their miserable winter continues there. But the good news there is that they have had a lot of moisture, and that's always something they worry about.
Pete, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Okay, my pleasure.
Pete Levitt is an agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Remember, no markets tomorrow, but we will have a Closing Market Report. And Commodity Week is recorded at 4:30 this evening. I'm Todd Gleason.